Good morning, everybody. Why don't we start finding our way? Yes. Good morning, everybody.
I like this.
Well, there we go. Now I got your attention. Of course, now you might be deaf and you might not hear what I have to say anyways. Well, here we are. It is our upper room service for October. And as you can tell, there's a little bit of a different setup on stage. One thing, if you are a guest here, we include the kids. We keep the kids in for this service because, communion is probably one of the most important things that we can do in our faith. And it's important that not only us as adults understand this, but it's also important that kids and the children understand what this is, what it means, why we do it, and give them the opportunity, as they believe, to partake in this as well. But we also like to include them in a little fun portion, and today we have a little object lesson. So I'm going to invite the kids to come on up, and we're going to have a little discussion time. That was an interesting way to get on stage, Addie. Here they come. They're running up. They're running up. They're running up. All right. Whoa. All right. Sit back a little bit so everybody can see here. Here they come. They're all coming up. Yep. They're all coming. You guys can spread out among the stage. You don't have to stay on one side of the stage. One side isn't better than the other. Here we go. I guess they just all want to stay on that side. Oh, Charlotte's going to come over here and balance us out. There we go. All right. So we've been spending some time, obviously, the past couple weeks in 1 John, 2 John, and who then can guess what today is? Oof, you guys are scholars. You guys are amazing. I mean, for this 2 years, you guys have really honed your skills in, and you got this Bible down. All right, so here we are, 3 John, and we've been talking a lot the past 2 weeks, a little bit about love and truth. And here's how this is going to work. Why don't you guys slide back a little bit so they can, because I don't know if you guys don't slide back, this whole section is going to say, Seth, we couldn't see anything. Here you go. There you go. So here we have in this bowl, what's in this bowl?
Water.
Are you going to say a bowl's in this bowl? All right. So here we have a bowl of water. Does it look clean?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks nice and clean. Yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit. Don't give stuff away. All right. So, who wants to take the first sponge? So, you're right here, so why don't you go ahead. Why don't you just dip the sponge of your life into the truth? Ah. Now, I want you to wring out the truth over that bowl as to not make a large mess. Yes. So, when truth comes in, what flows out of our lives? Not sin. All right, we're going back to Genesis. Restart 2-year series beginning next week. What came out? Truth went in, and what came out? Truth. All right. So here's a question. What kind of truth is in the Bible? What does the Bible teach us? Jesus, the perfect answer for any situation. What does the Bible teach us about Jesus? Sunday school teachers are all like, say something correct. What does the Bible teach us about Jesus? Who is Jesus?
He's God.
He's God. All right. So that's one truth we can look at. So if you understand that, Jesus is the Son of God, and he is God. Now, what might other people outside of the church think of Jesus? Hate him?
Or not know.
Yeah, hate him, not know him. Does everybody believe that he is the Son of God?
No,
because so you might go about your life, and what's in this bowl?
Dirt.
It almost looks like crumbled up Oreos, but it is not, I promise you. Do not eat it. It is from actually the flower pots just outside of church. Very convenient. So this is going to represent falsehood or non-truth? I need another volunteer. What's your name?
Nick.
Nick, come on up. All right, Nick. I want you to take some of this false truth and add it to this life of sponge. Just get all up in there. Get it? Yep. Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, everybody agree? Everybody, look, is that gross? Oh yeah, look at that face. Who wants gross? Oh, so this sponge has let false teaching, it's let false truth come into its life. Now, Shirley, what happens when we add it to the clean bowl? Oh no! What happened?
It got everywhere.
It got everywhere. Is this a clean bowl now of truth?
No.
No, what is this? Dirty. Okay, now the question, who wants to drink this? Oh, man. There's always one volunteer that wants to do something disgusting. All right. So what we see from this is if we're taking in truth and we're letting truth rule our lives, what flows out of us is truth. It's the right life that God desires for us. But if we go outside of that, if we get into the muck and the dirt of the false teachings and we let that come into our life, it affects us. We start not behaving in the way that God desires for us. Our lives get murky. We get stuck in this dirt and in this sickness of sin. But see, then we have Jesus who comes into our life, and there's really no good way to kind of dump this out for that. But Jesus comes in and cleans up our life. He cleans out that muck when we focus back on the truth of Christ. And we're going to look at some examples today in 3 John. We get some very practical examples of what it's like to walk in truth and then what it's like to turn our backs on truth. Right, kids? So how do we want to live our lives? With what? With Jesus is a great answer. Remember, always answer Jesus. Any question you ask, just say Jesus. And in church, 99% of the times, you will be correct. All right. You guys good? No, you're not. You're all sinners. All right. Go ahead back to your seats. Give it up for the kids. He's still eyeing it up. I think he still wants to drink it. I'm not going to allow that to happen on my watch. But if I turn my back and you get it, that's on you. There's really no good transition from moving all this stuff around, so I'm just going to move it around, and you're going to have to sit there while I do this. So it's hard to believe now that we are actually near the end of this 2-year series. We only have, after this, 2 more books remaining. Pop quiz. What 2 books are left? 4 and 5 John. No, that's a great guess, and I love it. That was fantastic. Oh, that was the best. Oh, we could just close up now and go get some chili. No, we have Jude and Revelation. So we're going to spend the next 3 weeks in the book of Jude and then 1 week in the book of Revelation. Either way, that would probably make more sense. All right, we're going to spend, yes, I knew that was on purpose, just to see if anybody understood how small Jude was, and for us to spend 3, we probably could. I know Jim said he did find a 3-week series by Tony Evans, who had 3 weeks in Jude. I think Tony Evans can find 3 weeks in anything. But there we go. So we're going to be spending 1 week in the book of Jude, and then 3 weeks in the great book of Revelation, which I know everybody has just been waiting 2 years to get to that point to hear those messages on Revelation. So here we are. Why don't you turn in your Bibles, and we're going to be looking at the book of 3 John. And as you're turning there, I want you to remember the journey that we've been on. 2 weeks ago, Ron opened up the book of 1 John to us. He shared to us the importance of walking in the truth, of walking in a twisted world that is dirty and muckery and just yucky, full of falsehood, and the encouragement that John gives us to walk in Christ. Last week, Bill opened up 2 John and shared the importance of clinging to that truth, of that truth in love. John says that the Christian life is all about truth and needing to know and how to defend truth in love. And as I said, as we turn to this book of 3 John, we're going to see some practical examples of people who John is writing to who are living this out or are not living out this life. But let me ask you a question. Who are some people in your lives that you looked up to growing up? Those guys you saw on TV or those ladies you saw on TV that you just looked up to. Think about some of those people in your minds that you had. You said, I just want to be like so-and-so. Now, I know you can just scratch me off your list. You don't have to say it. I know I'm already number one on your list, and I appreciate that, but that's not what we're here to discuss today. But, you know, we all have somebody that we look up to, somebody that we say, I want to strive to be like so-and-so. If I was only like Clint Eastwood, right, that gunslinger, no taking anything from anybody, I want to be like him. For me, if you know me long enough, you know that my life is defined by sports. So for me, growing up, I didn't take the natural course of Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. But I had one player that I liked even more, and it was Grant Hill. Grant Hill, who came out of Duke, he was somebody that I wanted to be like. I very soon realized that if the net was 10 foot tall, my hands were not going to reach it. So I had to resort to a different way to play basketball and just get good at shooting because I was never going to get my hand above that rim. But you know, we strive to be like people. And in 3 John, we're going to see examples of people that we should strive to live our lives after. And then one that we should definitely not. We all want to reflect something in our lives. We all want to pursue something. Ultimately, we'll find out that we want to pursue Christ. Let's pray as we get ready to read the book of 3 John. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this day, a place where we can celebrate just the gifts of baking and of creating this masterful chili, Lord. We're excited for the time of great celebration that we can have as a church family. Lord, but we know as we gather here on Sunday, we also come to worship and give praise to your name. Lord, now we look to this book of 3 John. We ask that you would challenge us to see the areas where we are weak, to realize that we need to grow, that we need to be more like Christ in how we live our lives. Lord, we love you. We love all that you have done for us, Lord, and we lift up those who are meeting on this day, who face persecution, who face hard times, Lord, of gathering in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling around the world, that they would cling to the truth, that they would not relent from the love that you've called us to have. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole book. It's not often that we say that for a message, but I'm going to go ahead and read the entire book of 3 John for us this morning. Here it begins. Verse 1, the elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought to therefore show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Theophanes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and as you know, our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Thus ends the book of 1 John, and what we are going to see here is, as I said, three examples of what's going on here in this book of 3 John. The first person we meet is Gaius. And here we get a great introduction to this man. We see that he is one who is practicing what he has been preaching, what he has been hearing. We hear many things from John. If you look in verse 3, it says, some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, that you continue to walk in the truth. It says, you are faithful in what you are doing. He says, we have heard all about your love and how you send people in a manner that honors God. Here's a man who knew the truth of Scripture. He knew the commands that John had written, that Jesus had given as he walked on this earth, and he practiced it. His actions followed up what he said. He was not afraid to live out the truth. He was not backing down. You know, sometimes it's said, sometimes people will say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. You know, all of us might not have the opportunity to stand up here and preach from God's word. But every moment that you go out into this world, you're a living sermon. You're living out the word of God, how people see you live your life. When people looked at Gaius' life, they saw truth. They saw someone who was backing up the things that he talked about. And John says, you know what? I appreciate it. I am glad to hear the way you are living your life. You see, they are powerful words of how we live our lives. But that wasn't all he was doing. He was also using his time and resources in Christian service. If you remember back to what Bill was mentioning last week, remember there were no cars. There was no Ubers to get you around. People walked. How many people enjoy walking? All right, that was a lot more hands than I anticipated seeing. But you know, it'd be surprised. Some people don't like walking and exercise. How about you like to walk a whole day? 20 miles, 30 miles a day. Who's up for that? Bob, you don't count. You run marathons. So, just kidding. But no, the longer it goes, we don't enjoy it. And these traveling teachers were going to city to city, and they were looking for places to stay. And clearly when they came to the place where Gaius lived, they knew that this was a place they would be welcomed. A place where they could come in and get food and rest. And John is saying, I appreciate the things that you are doing for the brothers and sisters. This is his bringing that cold cup of water to someone in need. He is reaching out and sharing with those teachers. In fact, if you look in verse 8, John says something interesting. He says that we may work together for the truth. And what you see there is, Gaius isn't preaching. He's not up front getting all the glory. But John is saying here, we are working together for the truth. You see, everybody has their part to play. Sometimes we're behind the scenes, doing things so that others might be encouraged in what they do. We all play a role. We all have different gifts and abilities. But the key is we are to be in service to God. He is commended for all that he is doing. He says, I see your life and I appreciate what you are doing. What you are doing is good for the ministry. What you are doing is good for the brothers and sisters. His hospitality spoke well. I think at our church, I think we'll say hospitality is a great thing for our church. And if you are a first-time guest here with us today, you've picked the perfect Sunday to be the first-time guest because you are going to get some great chili and some great cakes. Because we encourage, if this is your first time, please stay and be a part of our fellowship this day. Your stomach's going to get full. You might not feel that great afterwards, but you're going to get some great fellowship as we just eat some great food together. But you see, whenever there's a good, there's always a comparison. There's always somebody to look at to say, well, wasn't all going that well. Thus, this poor man by the name of Diophanes, and I have looked up four ways to try and pronounce it. I actually listened to three different versions of the Bible, and each one pronounced it a different way, and I was like, well, that is no help to me at all, because if you guys can't agree on how to pronounce this name, we're just going to be a disaster together. But here is this man who forever is engraved in scriptures with this lasting memory. Now, the question that doesn't really get answered, and I'm not going to spend some time here, is this guy saved or is he not saved? And if he is saved and he's in heaven, he's probably looking like, that's how I am forever remembered in scripture. Well, let's look at his not-so-great example. It opens up in a particular way that is great for all of us. And he says, who loves to be first. Now, as I say that, I realize, look, somebody has to go first in the food line. Okay? It's okay to be first if you want to jump in line to be first, or else we're all just going to be standing back, waiting to see who loves to be first for food. Theron said he's got it taken care of. All right. Oh, great. Oh, Grace raised her hand too, Theron. So you got to battle it out for first. All right, so you can go first. There we go. But this is how we get introduced to him, who loves to be first. Goes on to say, he will not welcome us. He says, I will call attention to what he is doing. He is spreading malicious nonsense about us. Refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. So he sees the people who are trying to do good, and he removes them from church. Says, no, 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 that's not what we do here. Can you imagine us saying, you know what, you are too friendly. This is not the church for you. Please, be gone. If Aaron says he'd be gone, no, we would have you right here with us. He was proud. He was self-willed, we see. He wanted to be first. He cared about himself, which goes against what the church is supposed to be. The church is a place of care, a place of love, a place of encouragement for all. See, the problem is when we think church is about me instead of the we get focused on, well, I really didn't get anything out of that. Nah, I didn't enjoy that at all. You're focused on yourself. He says he doesn't even want anything to do with John. He doesn't even welcome the Apostle John and his teachers. He says, you know, John, I know you were a disciple. You hung out with Jesus and everything, but nah, I don't need you. I will do this on my own. He also goes on and talks about how he controls things. He wanted control. He was kicking out those who weren't following what he saw as a way to live out their Christian lives. This is clearly an example that we can all agree we don't want this in our church body. This is not an encouragement. This is not someone who is walking in the truth in love. And then luckily we get one more character in this story here of Scripture in 3 John, and it's Demetrius. He gets one little verse. And if I were to get one verse for my life, I can't think of a better way to say this. And it says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Many think that this possibly could have been the carrier of this letter. Can you imagine his response when he found out who he was taking this letter to? You want me to take this letter of rebuke to him himself? And he says, yes, because I trust you. I know that you are walking in the truth. You see, we hear that we want to be the example. We want to be somebody who looks at our lives and say, that's who I want to live and pattern my life after. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says this. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. How many of you would be willing to say that same sentence? That you could say to the person sitting next to you, you know what? Follow my life as I follow Christ. Are you setting the example of truth and love? Is your bowl clear and clean of water? Or you got a little murkiness in it? A little dirt that we need to get rid of? You know, when we think back to that, as I thought where I started with following Grant Hill, and he was a good basketball player. How many of you have ever wanted to follow somebody who was bad? You know, I didn't pick the last guy on the bench of the team and said, that's the example that I want to follow. No, I picked the best. I picked the one who stood out among the rest to follow. So as we look at this scripture here, as we look at 3 John, who are we going to follow? Are we going to be the negative drain on a church body? The one who is discouraging? The one who is trying to bring us down? Or are we going to look to those who carry the truth in love and who are following the example of Christ? The reality is that the table before us reminds us that we aren't perfect. It reminds us that we are sinners, that someone had to come and pay the penalty for our sins. Sins require death, eternal death and separation from God. But God sent his Son to us, that he might take on the punishment for sins, that he might clean out the dirty water of our lives and give us his life, which was broken and crushed for us. And Jesus, as he met with his disciples, told us to remember him in this way. I want to call forward the ushers as we get ready to think about this. And as we get ready to partake in this time of communion, Scripture calls us to examine our lives, to confess where we have fallen short. I would ask that you would take some time in prayer. Examine your life. Where has the diaphanies of the life come into you where you haven't been following the truth? Confess those sins. Come and partake of this bread and this cup. Here at Faith Fellowship Church, we don't ask that you are a member of this church. We just ask that you are a member of the universal church, somebody who believes what Jesus did for you, that Jesus died for your sins, and that you can find forgiveness in him. Amen. Let's remember him now.